Invite you to turn in your Bible, if you will, to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We'll take a look here and read verse number 1, and then we'll consider this thought that's at hand in this chapter. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse number 1. The scripture says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father," hang on to that thought, "Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh hath found." What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? I'd like to preach a message this morning. What has Abraham found? What did he find? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your blessings. And we thank you for this time that you've made, that we as your people can meet together to worship you. And Lord, we thank you for the services and the way that you've blessed already. And Lord, we pray that you just might continue to bless as we look into your word at this time. Lord, as your children, Father, we pray that you'd speak into us and stir us with your word, Father. We do desire to be a people that sees Jesus and touches Jesus and has a great fellowship with our Lord and Savior, our great God and King. Help us, Father, to see the importance of that, the necessity and need of that. Lord, help us that we, as you command us and you instruct us, that we would walk humbly with you. And Lord, help us at this time that we might rejoice in our Savior and the things that he has done for us, the things that are promised, the great and wondrous promises of God. We pray, Father, for those that are here without Christ as Savior, Lord, that you might stir them too, and you might speak to them in their need. We all have needs, Father. We pray that you'd help us as we worship you, that you would meet those needs and you'd speak to us. And Lord, save sinners in our midst. Work, Father, as you only can. Help now, we pray. And as we look here about what Abraham has found, help us, Father, that we might be reaffirmed and strengthened and helped and encouraged in it. And Lord, that again, those that are here without Christ, that they might find what Abraham found. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake, and amen. What has Abraham found? It starts off in this chapter, and of course, the preceding chapters in the book of Romans, the gospel is heralded forth, and the greatness of the gospel is the lack of shame that the Apostle Paul has about the gospel. He says in chapter 1, it's the power of God unto salvation to all, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why the Jew? Well, he mentions that in chapter 3 about what advantage does a Jew had. Well, the word of God came to the Jews first. But praise the Lord, he is blessed and worked that the word of God has come into all the world, and the truth of the word of God and salvation through Christ. We are inexcusable. We're found a rotten, sinful people. We have nothing within ourselves that we can offer God. There's no buying salvation from the Lord. There's no promise to God for us to quit our rottenness and us be helped and saved at that point. We need someone to intervene and do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. It's plainly declared here. The works of the flesh cannot pay for salvation. That can gain no merit before God. We started off in this life that the Lord's given us. We've started off as sinners. And as soon as I hit the air, as well as you, because of our nature, we started sinning and transgressing against our Lord. It's stacked up against us. Brother Jim, I'm this kind of child or that kind of child. Well, you're a sinner because your daddy's a sinner, and he's a sinner because his daddy's a sinner, and we're all sinners because our daddy Adam was a sinner. And that's just the way it is. Remember that our brother, as he writes here, he's speaking to this church at Rome, namely a church of Gentiles, kind of like it is with us. We're Gentiles. Maybe we've got some Jewish heritage in our bloodline and in the line of our ancestors. But as far as I know, it's not enough for me to really know much about it. Maybe there's a name there that might be a Jewish name and part of my ancestry could be, but nothing to where I can lay claim to it as a Jew. We're Gentiles in this country and in this land, for the most part indeed, and as it is with us, as far as I know, here at Olmsted Baptist Church, we're Gentiles. We're not of the commonwealth of Israel. And that's the way it is with these folks. Remember the Romans, they defeated the Greeks, and they established a great and mighty kingdom, and but they borrowed from the gods of Greek mythology. They borrowed from the gods of Babylonian worship and mysticism. It's all the same part and parcel of man's way revisited and reinvented, and some great things that the nation of Rome did. But they're a wicked, wicked people, and they're not Jews, and they're estranged. They're aliens from God. The Lord sent our brother there to preach, and he sent others there to Rome to preach and to proclaim the word of God. We remember about Aquila and Priscilla. They were there at Rome, and they were good ministers of the Lord and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They got kicked out of Rome because the Caesar decreed that all the Jews needed to get out of there. And then in later time, the Apostle Paul is brought to Rome at the Romans' expense because of some fracas, some false thing that he was accused of down in Jerusalem. And he's there and will be there amongst them. But before that, he writes to them this epistle. There's a church that is established there, the church at Rome. And he writes to them and telling them about things that they need to know. They're saved. But he's laying things out for them from the Word of God that they might understand and that we might understand about how things really, really are. Men are sinners. The only hope that we have is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has given his word to make things very plain unto us. And no man has an advantage or a blessing apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks to these Gentiles. Hold your place here in Romans chapter 4. Let's go ahead and take a look at this passage over here in Romans 11. And he's talking about the nation of Israel and how the Lord used them and is provoking them to jealousy by his working amongst the Gentiles. And he says here in Romans chapter 11, verse number 12, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, okay, the gospel and the word of God coming to the rest of the world because of Israel's disobedience, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness, speaking about the Jews, the nation of Israel being brought back. For I speak to you Gentiles. They are Gentiles indeed. He says as much. And as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And so remember that, consider that as we look at this chapter 4, these folks are Gentiles. But look at the wording that he uses regarding Abraham. Abraham. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ in the time of his ministry said, we're not born of fornication. We've got one father, Abraham. They were jealous about Abraham. The Jews were and are. They see Abraham and the Lord's calling upon him. In a sense, they're federal head from the standpoint of being the Lord's nation. It's the promises that the Lord gave Abraham that have been manifested in Israel and will be manifested in the nation of Israel. But yet the apostle speaks to this Gentile church about this man named Abraham. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? He writes to these Roman Gentiles there in Rome. What did Abraham find regarding the flesh? For if Abraham were justified, made as if he had never sinned, that's what that word, it's a good definition, and just as if you have never sinned, justification, okay? So what has he found pertaining to the flesh? For if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof to glory, but not before God. You know what Abraham found? That in the flesh, there's no way to get right before God. that the righteousness of the flesh just will not meet the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is Jesus the Savior, but He's the standard. He's the bar. He's that which the righteousness of man that man may try to claim needs to be measured up against, and it's always falls short. As regarding what has he found, when regarding the flesh, he's found that the flesh won't cut it. For if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof to glory. Oh, if he could be justified by works, he'd have some rejoicing to do and some praise and some glorying that he could do. But it wouldn't be before God. It'd be before men. It would be in himself. But it wouldn't be before God, because it just doesn't pass the test of the Lord Jesus Christ. For what saith the scripture, verse 3, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Faith. Abraham believed God. Now, what did he believe God in? Well, he believed God in that which the Lord had brought to him and presented to him. Let's take a look over here into Genesis 15 real quick and take a look at what it is, what this is talking about, what the apostle's talking about. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15. See, the Lord came and visited Abraham, and he told him the things that he told him. But you know what? He didn't tell him things directly regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. He told him about this. In Genesis 15, verse number 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And you know what Abram did? He believed that. He believed that the answer was in his day, is in God. God said, I'm your shield and I'm your exceeding great reward. And Abram says, yeah, that's right. Simple, childlike faith. When God says what he says, the man believed it. He believed it. And see, when the Lord speaks to us and tells us his truth and tells us his promises, and we receive that and believe that and know that that's eternally steadfast and sure, that's faith. Faith, not just this thing that's of ourselves, but faith in him. He has spoken, and it is true. Nothing else matters. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, verse number 2, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars. It means count them. Look at them. Try to reconcile how many that there are. Tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Verse 6. And he, that is Abram, not Abraham, but Abram, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. God speaks, and I believe it. God speaks, God has spoken, and you believe it. You receive it. You say, that those are the facts, what God has said. Those are the facts, and I believe what God believes and what he stated about it, and my faith is in him. And so that was the issue in that case, in the reference of our brother here in Romans chapter 4, is Abram was worried about an heir. Abram wasn't struggling about the salvation of his soul. He wasn't struggling about the need of his soul. He was dealing with this thing of having an heir. And of course, we know that the heir ultimately would lead to the Lord Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of other prophecies that the Lord had given, other promises that the Lord had given. But we come here back to Romans chapter 4. And the brother references this that we read over in Genesis 15. What did Abraham find regarding the flesh? That it just won't work. That if he would be justified by the flesh, he would be able to glory, but he wouldn't be able to glory before the Lord. For what saith the scripture in verse number 3 of Romans 4? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Do you believe God? Do you believe that God created all things? Do you believe that God is the God of all things that exist? Do you believe that God gave you life? The same God that tells us those truths is the same God that sent his son so that sinners like you and me could be saved. Do you believe that? See, isn't it something with the sinner? I believe some things, but when it comes down to the need, in a manner of speaking, just not willing to turn loose of the thing that they fear would destroy them. But God is true and honest and great in every way. God does not lie. And so what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Somebody tries to work for what they get out of God. And that's the attitude. I'll work for this. I'll not sin against God. I won't be disobedient against God. And then he'll like me more. Then he'll give me what I need. I'll give him what he wants and what he needs. And then he'll give me. Now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. See, faith is not a work. Faith is faith. Faith in the Lord. Simple believing what God has said is true and receiving that for life and all of eternity. Because see, you and I can't rescue ourselves. You and I can't reconcile our sins. You and I can't get the payment to the place on time. You and I cannot call for the Savior to come. You and I cannot call for the Word of God to come and speak to us. We can't do anything. But the Lord tells us what He has done, and it's given unto us, it's a call unto us to believe it. To believe it, not a historical knowledge that some believe it, but for us, each and every one of us here individually, to believe it and receive what the Lord has said. Grace doesn't come the reward. Listen to what that says. Now to him that worketh is the reward. There's a reward in believing God. It says in Hebrews that Moses had the respect to the recompense of reward. See, our believing is not our saving, but by faith, salvation does come. The reward of believing God is the salvation of the soul and the blessing of God upon the soul. Now, to him that worketh, the reward that he's stating, there is a reward, is not reckoned of grace or favor from God, but of debt. Work for God, then God owes you. And he goes, no, it doesn't come that way. We believe God. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Faith. You know, when you have faith and trust, if you will, in someone, if you trust someone with your life and your soul and your eternity, you're laying it on the line that they will be able to get the job done so that you might be rescued. Do you believe that he can? Abraham believed that he could. And this is talking about regarding an heir. Now, to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned of grace or favor from God, but of debt. But it doesn't work that way. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, listen, believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. I believe in the one that can justify the ungodly. I believe in the one that justified this old ungodly sinner. He made me through Christ as if before God I had never sinned. But you know what? It must needs be that I trust in him and rest in him completely and fully for it to be so. No plan B, no plan E. Try Jesus for a while. If you don't like him, Satan will take you back. What blasphemy. No, we hear the Lord and we hear his message. We hear his truth. We hear his word, his gospel. And we lay our all upon him and what he has said. That's what Abram did. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Faith in the Lord Jesus and what he has done. Faith in God and what he has promised and what he has provided in Christ. Faith in his word and what he has told about what he is going to do. Sinner, don't wrestle with your doubt and your uncertainty and your fear and your lack of trying to figure your inability to try to figure out and your frustration to try to figure out you being right with God. Trust in him and his Savior. Even as David, verse 6, David dealt with this same thing. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. The imputing of righteousness to the sinner. Imputation, a wonderful doctrine. My sin was imputed unto Christ and he bore it on the tree, being sinless. And by salvation, by faith in him, his righteousness has been imputed unto me. Therefore, I am justified. Justification is a test of righteousness. If you have any other righteousness but the righteousness of Christ, you are not justified. But if the righteousness of Christ has been imputed unto you, you are justified indeed. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. David says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Forgiven. Not paid for by the sinner, but forgiven because Christ paid for them. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered, covered by the blood of the Lamb. However it was there in the Holy of Holies, there on the mercy seat in heaven where the Lord Jesus took his blood and applied it, that blood was applied to my sins, to your sins if you're here and saved, by faith in Christ. David knew it. Blessed, happy, joyous, rejoicing, and touched by God are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I'm justified. You're justified. David knew that same thing, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his good favor and touch upon us, by faith in him and his salvation of our souls. And that's what the scripture bears out. Cometh this blessedness, verse 9, upon the circumcision only? He's writing to Gentiles. He said, is this just for the Jews? Is this just for the one that would be circumcised? And he's speaking about the Jews. That's what it is. Or upon the uncircumcision also, he asks a question. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham. Now he's calling him Abraham, or has in this passage. We saw where his name was Abram at that time. Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Is this just for the Jews? How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or an uncircumcision? When Abram believed the Lord and what he would said about what he would give him, and that he would give him an heir of his own loins, and that Sarah would bear a child, even being old as she was, and they being as old as they were, past childbearing, he was not circumcised. Again, the work of a man is not how sinners are saved. He says, you Gentiles, you Roman Gentiles, you Romans that are saved by the Lord and members of his church, you're not saved by what you've done, nor was Abraham saved by what he did. He was saved by the Lord, and it was counted unto him to righteousness because he believed the Lord. How was it reckoned? When he did something? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Speaking about his works, what he could do. Verse 11. And he received the sign. I find this wording interesting. He received the sign of circumcision, and that's what it is. Baptism is a sign. Baptism is a token. Baptism doesn't save. But I tell you what, the baptism wherewith Jesus was baptized with saves. Amen? Hear that? Not when John put him under the water, but he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I in a strait till it be accomplished? He's talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. That's how baptism saves us, because Jesus fulfilled those things of the gospel. His baptism, completely and totally in the will of God Almighty, in fulfilling what he had been prophesied that he would do and what he came to do as a man, and that he yielded himself and he was killed, he was slain, yet he gave his own life and he was buried and rose again from the dead. Indeed, that is how we're saved. That's how sinners are saved. And we don't approach to the helping or the accomplishing of that in any way. It's what Jesus did alone. And by faith, it's imputed to sinners. By faith in what he did, it's imputed to sinners like you and me. He received the sign of circumcision. Listen, a seal of the righteousness of the faith. He had that private token, that private seal, that he believed God. And in the day, in this church age, we have a public seal, a public token of faith in Christ. He said, that's what that was. That's what that circumcision was. That didn't save Abraham, because he believed God by faith before his name was changed and before he was even circumcised. Listen to what it says. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. He believed the Lord when he was uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Our father of faith is Abraham. He's speaking to the Romans. He's speaking to Gentiles. And he's calling Abraham their father. The father of those that believe. That he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, not Jews, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Okay, let's read. There's a whole sentence there that spans into verse 12. Let's read it completely. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal, a sign and a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had in the Lord and what the Lord had said, being uncircumcised. That's when he believed, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, or even though they're not Jews, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also by faith. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Jews can be saved and Gentiles can be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the father of all that believe, whether they be circumcised, whether they be Jews, or they be uncircumcised, the Gentiles, but also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. You know what? Faith changes an individual. When the Lord called Abram, he said, "You know what, Lord? I've got some other things I need to do. Let's wait a few years. Let's let a couple decades pass, and then we'll get back on this." No, he went, didn't he? He followed. Someone that's saved, that says that they're saved, and they don't follow the Lord a lick in his word, you need to make your calling and election sure. Do you obey, or do you just say that you obey? Do you and I obey and follow the Lord? And as he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Is our faith just talk, or is there walk in it? It says here that Abraham's talk was manifested in his walk. The father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith. It changed his life. He went, as the scripture says, he went looking for a city whose foundations, he went looking for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. He's followed the Lord. Was he perfect? No, he had this old man on his back, didn't he? This old man gave him trouble. And it was no justification to pursue what he and Sarah did and trying to find an heir and going about an heir and regarding Ishmael. It's been trouble ever since. Got to bear with our sins, don't we, brother? Oh, they didn't condemn him to hell and didn't damn his and his wife's soul to eternal condemnation, but it's been a plague since, hadn't it? It has. Walk in the steps of that faith. Do you walk in the steps of your faith that you claim in the Lord Jesus? Or is it just cheap talk? But who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father, listen to what he says there, our father Abraham. He's not talking to the Jews at Rome. He's talking to the saints at Rome. And he says, our father Abraham, which he had the faith and the walk before there was even a directive for him and his sons to be circumcised. Verse 13, here you go. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. You want to receive promises of the Lord? You and I only receive them by faith. The promise is that sinners that repent of their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. That's a promise. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's just, don't make it more than it is and less than it is. That is the word and command and promise of the Lord. But Brother Jim, I'm afraid, I'm worried, I'm concerned, I'm confused. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And that's what several are told in the scriptures and what the scripture bears out. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. What men could do, and the law is good, but the law is not salvation. But through the righteousness of faith, faith in our Lord and his promises and what he has said. Verse 14, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made empty. It's void. There's no reason for faith. If the keepers of the law, so-called, or think that they can be, there's no need for faith, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. I mentioned this morning that Jesus is coming and he's going to execute judgment one day. He's long-suffering here as his coming approaches. But when the law is transgressed, it's going to ultimately end up in the wrath of God being manifested. I mean, the wine press, the scripture says, of the fierceness of the wrath of God Almighty. Jesus is going to tread that and tread that alone, because he's the Savior and because he's the judge. But you know what? That time hasn't come yet. And I pray that sinners, even in our midst, would come to Christ as the Lord has declared this truth and this word of salvation in him. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Well, how can that be? Well, Jesus fulfilled it, didn't he? Jesus, from the standpoint of the sinner, the saved sinner's sin and transgression of the law, Jesus fulfilled it for me. That's how I can be justified. That's how his righteousness can be imputed unto me. This great working and power of God, that God could come, become a man, and that's what it took, and then he fulfilled the law of God perfectly. And that can be imputed to the likes of me through faith in him and what he's done and what he's promised. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that, we think of all the building and all the physics and all the technology and all the things that man has done, and none of that can even come to touch what the Lord has done in the salvation of sinners. That his righteousness could be put on me, and somehow my sin be placed on him, and I could be made before God Almighty justified, just as if I'd never sinned, because when he looks on me, he sees his son. Amen? What a wondrous thing. He took the law and fulfilled the law for me. Verse number 16. Therefore, because of all this that he said, therefore it is of faith. And I find this interesting, that it might be by grace. Because again, us believing in the Lord doesn't do anything, and us believing in the Lord is not the operation of doing anything for ourselves. But the design of the Lord is that those that will believe in him, he will do these things for us. That's what he said. It's by faith in him. See, I didn't leverage God into forgiving me of my sins, but because of his promise that if the sinner will believe, he will take care of the sins. See, he's bound himself that by faith he will be gracious. Okay? By faith. Listen to what it says. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. See, when the sinner has faith in the Lord Jesus, faith in what God Almighty has declared and what he said, faith in what the Lord has promised, the Lord has bound himself that those that do believe, he will be favorable and gracious and act on their part. It's his design. Jonah said it, salvation is of the Lord. We didn't conjure it up, cook it up, devise it, submit a request, or make a recommendation to God. It's His design. By faith in Him. Abraham was justified, and so sinners are saved. Verse 16, therefore is of faith, which is no doing on the sinner's part, that it might be by grace, the favor of God and what all He does for us, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to all that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Remember, he writes to you Gentiles. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, talking of the resurrection, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. How can a sinner be reckoned anything but a sinner? That's how bad our state is. But you know, with the Lord, He can take the sinner and make him a saint by what Jesus has done. See, the power of God is manifested. It's manifested in the resurrection. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations. Not only was it talking about the nations that would come from the loins of Abraham, but also all of us and those that would believe God and what He says. Before him whom he believed even God, who quickeneth the dead, or as it says in verse 5, who justifieth the ungodly, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And I think that's speaking about the presence of the Lord always being in the now. Okay, in the now. Verse 18, who against hope, speaking of Abraham, believed in hope, hope in the Lord, no so hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Not only was he the father of those that would come from him, Israel and other mighty nations that came from him that have spread those regions and even been in the world, but that he would be the father of those of the seed of faith, if you will. Okay? He believed the promise of God in every way. So shall thy seed be. Believing. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Okay, so he's back to this thing that he started off speaking about in the beginning, the whole point about an heir. Okay, it's the example to us. And being now weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. It was impossible till God said it was possible. And he believed him. He believed him. Oh, he had failing, and he had a work and a point of anxiousness when the time rocked on, the time went on, and nothing was happening. We need to wait on the Lord, don't we? We need to wait. He needed to wait, but he didn't, and ended up with Ishmael. But this thing that was told him that was impossible, he said, with the Lord, it is possible. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. That when God said that he would have a son, he believed that he would have a son. He didn't go to the what ifs or but how. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. These are the main verses I want everybody to get here this morning. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, because God was going to do the doing. Abraham believed the Lord, but his body being dead, he couldn't facilitate the having of a son. He couldn't change his body. But he knew he would have a son because God had promised that he would. He couldn't do it. He couldn't take Sarah to the doctor to get something changed with her, to get something fixed so she could be able to bear a child again. It was impossible for her to bear a child again. But God said it. And what was impossible became possible. Just like it says there in verse 17, at the latter part, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. It's impossible for a sinner to be saved, but not with God. The disciples asked that. Well, who then can be saved? What did the Lord Jesus say? With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Okay, listen to this. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Sinner, you can be saved. Don't stagger at the promise of God. Believe what the Lord has said. Have faith in him. Oh, he's not asking you or telling you at all to figure out the details, but repent of your sins and trust in Christ. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, faith in the Lord, giving glory to God. It's the Lord that will do it and must do it and will do it and work it, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. That the doing was going to be in the Lord. Faith in the Lord and favor, the operation and working of God imparted. A familiar passage, you know it, in Romans chapter 10, verse number 8. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead for you, because you need it, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that what the scripture says? I've not changed it or altered it in any way. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Another way of saving it, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Verse 22 of Romans 4. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He believed God. God is to be believed, isn't he? Adam was to believe God from the very beginning. Adam, subdue the earth and have dominion over it and replenish it. That's it. You know what? God doesn't have to say it over and over and over and over and over and over. You got that with your kids, right? We have to tell them, our children, we tell them over and over and over and over. God says it and he means it. He means what he says and says what he means. And that was the directive at hand. Men, women, boys and girls on this earth are to believe what God says. Not doubt it, not fuss against it, not grouse against it, but to believe it and receive it. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Well, how? Because of what he did? No, because he believed God. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, this account about Abram, it wasn't written for his sake alone, that it might be imputed to him, but it was written for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. What's that next word? If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Believe that God has done this. So that an old, wicked, alien sinner like you could be saved. Believe it. Believe it. But if for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Listen, because this is the reason Jesus was offered. who was delivered for our offenses, sins, transgressions, and was raised for our justification. If Jesus would have never risen from the dead, how could we really know that the job had ever been completed? What's the sting of sin? Death. We would have really known that, never known that Jesus really paid our sin debt if he would have stayed dead. But because the Lord raised him from the dead, we know that he's defeated sin, death, and the grave. He died once, never to die again. And sinner, you can trust him in it. You can believe in him. He's trustable. He's reliable. God tells no lie. Will you stagger at the promise? I pray not. I pray that you would believe and trust in Christ. How are we justified? What did Abraham find? He found that by the flesh, what a man can do, he cannot be saved. He cannot be justified. But by faith in what the Lord Jesus, what God Almighty has promised through his Son, sinners like you and me can be saved. Abraham found a great thing, didn't he? He didn't find it in himself. He found it in the Lord, and the Lord God Almighty.